think I better start with a disclaimer saying that I cannot claim to represent the entire Great Plains perspective here. So I think where I'm coming from is a bit more what we do in Nebraska. But the point I want to make at the beginning is that we have a different philosophy for making a nitrogen recommendation than is now being followed in the eastern part of the Corn Belt. And part of the reason is probably that we have somewhat different cropping systems and also environments. And if you just look at this map which shows the county average corn yields, you will notice that in the western part of the Corn Belt, we have a much greater variation in terms of counties with some very low yields, so dryland corn, versus a lot of irrigated area, which is the red hatched areas with pretty high yields. Yeah. So keep this in mind. We have large differences in yields, and we also have probably more differences in the cropping systems, particularly in Nebraska, a much higher proportion of continuous corn systems. Now, trying to calculate the nitrogen fertilizer recommendation for a crop is not rocket science. And this is Stanford's equation, or a slight modification in the nomenclature, but it's the same. It basically says that if you knew the crop requirement for a certain year that you want to achieve, and you know what is supplied from the soil and other indigenous sources of nitrogen, I've listed some of them here, and then you divide the difference of these two by the efficiency of fertilizer, so the recovery of the fertilizer in the above ground biomass of the crop or the crop as a whole, you would have your perfect nitrogen rate. And you could then incorporate into this the economics as well by basically increasing or decreasing your target yield or your crop requirement depending on what the price ratio of corn to nitrogen would be. So very simple equation, but the trouble that we have all faced is that we can't easily solve this equation in practice. It starts already that at the beginning of the season when the farmer needs to make this decision, he doesn't really know what the crop requirement is going to be. He can get into some ballpark, but it's never going to be accurate. We have very great difficulties to quantify properly what the soil supplies and what the efficiency is. So this is probably the reason why we have ended up with different types of algorithms being used in different states. And the one that we use in Nebraska in its original form is shown here. So you have basically a crop requirement component in the form of an expected yield or a yield goal multiplied with a nitrogen requirement for that. And you subtract from that the supply from soil, which is expressed in terms of soil organic matter and soil nitrate in the profile, and any kind of other credits that we think contribute nitrogen from indigenous sources. So legumes, because of the rapid decomposition of the residue and therefore a priming effect also on decomposition of organic matter, manure and other types. As you will notice in this equation, what's missing is an explicit term for fertilizer efficiency. So we've taken that basically into these empirical coefficients that are part of this equation. Those basically also represent one way or another what we think is the efficiency. But the bottom line is that this type of algorithm has a yield goal, it has a supply component, and the efficiency is incorporated in it. Now, 10 years later, or 11 years later, in Nebraska, we made just two minor empirical adjustments. One was the addition of a factor that basically increases or decreases the recommended nitrogen rate slightly depending on how you apply the nitrogen. So if there is more split application, more siderous application, then the total recommended rate could be reduced a little bit. If it's all applied in fall, it would increase slightly. And likewise, we've added an an economic adjustment factor to take into account the different price ratios of corn and nitrogen, because when the original algorithm was developed, it was essentially during a time when nitrogen was relatively cheap and nobody worried about increasing prices too much. So, but the bulk of the algorithm has not changed. Now, what's interesting is that the Western Corn Belt states, or most of them at least, use similar types of algorithms. They're not exactly the same, but they have kind of similar principles, if you wish. So the blue lines are examples for fertilizer recommendations. In Nebraska, Colorado use the same algorithm. Kansas, Missouri, and South Dakota. You can see the Kansas, Missouri, South Dakota algorithms differ a little bit. So in the case of Missouri, for example, there is a plant population factor in there too. But the similar principle, crop demand minus supply type of algorithm. So what I'm showing here is if you apply these different equations to a situation where you want to grow corn following corn, you have a soil with 2% organic matter, 5 ppm of nitrate in the profile, and no irrigation manure credits here, and the corn price, the nitrogen price ratio of 8. This is the different recommendations that you get depending on different yield goods. Now you can see in three states they're going almost parallel. There's one, Kansas, where the nitrogen rate gets very high for high yield goods. But the big difference is that if you compare this, what is now being followed or recommended in the Eastern Corn Belt states that are listed down here, where we basically have a nitrogen rate that is independent on a yield goal and based on the average maximum return to nitrogen. And so it's basically some sort of a blanket recommendation, if you wish. So I think what we have to ask ourselves as scientists is, does it really make sense to have the same nitrogen rate irrespective of what your yield goal is? There are some differences depending on environment and whether your previous crop is corn or soybean too, but does it really make sense to have this flat? Why is it that in the other occasions we have a slope like this, whereas one state says this? Is corn grown in these different states really that different? I mean, I don't think that corn on the eastern side of Nebraska is very different from that growing across the Missouri River in Iowa. But if we follow this, it would be an entirely different recommendation. Now, I'm not going to get into this kind of semantics, but from a scientific point of view, I think we're not really making a lot of progress by having these completely different types of approaches. Now, as I've mentioned at the beginning, part of the reason maybe that we're working to some degree in different environments and different cropping systems, and this is a bit reflected by the range of county average yields that you get on a state basis. You can see in the Eastern Corn Belt states, they're relatively narrow. If we go to Kansas or Nebraska, and then we have first a big differentiation between irrigated and dryland corn, so huge differences in yield levels. But even within the dryland corn, for example, we have a large yield range, which is probably one of the reasons why we're interested there more and in this more complete algorithm. So we looked at this a couple of years ago by conducting a series of pretty detailed nitrogen response studies all over different places in Nebraska. That's all irrigated corn. So the yellow areas is essentially irrigated corn, continuous corn systems, whereas the green is corn soybean systems. But we've had a total of 28 site years. 16 of those were corn following soybean, 12 of those corn following corn, and they represented different types of tillages as well. So. And so we did the usual response studies and fitted different response models. And what I'm showing here is just comparing always corn following corn, the black line, versus corn following soybean, the red, or is it red? What is it? Yeah, some whatever color line. kind of strange. The colors on my screen, you look entirely different from what's there. Really confusing, you know. So this is actually on my screen, this is red here, and this is sort of yellowish, but yeah. Okay, the point here is that, as expected, the economically optimal nitrogen rate, EONR, decreases as the corn to nitrogen price ratio decreases too. It's not a big finding. Interestingly, and that's also very much verifying what we are using in our current recommendation, the average difference in the economic rate between the corn falling corn and corn falling soybean is about 50 pounds. That's very close to what we have as a soybean credit in the algorithm, which is 45 pounds. Yeah. But what I really want to point out is that the standard errors on those dots here, these are all different nitrogen rates, you can see that the economically optimal nitrogen rate in corn falling corn soybean is much narrower from side year to side year than in continuous corn, where we have a lot more variability of what the optimal rate is. Now, you can look at now the yield at the optimal rate against the same price ratio, same sort of story. You know? Much narrower yield ranges in the corn falling soybean system versus the continuous corn system. So if we take this one step further, then we can look at the correlations. Often one reason that has been brought up is for not using a yield goal in a fertilizer algorithm is that there is no correlation between the economically optimal nitrogen rate and the yield at that rate. And true, in this data set, that it's quite weak. But there's lots of correlations between the different components that determine the response to nitrogen. You can see, for example, that the optimal rate is pretty well correlated, at least much better, with the yield response, or delta Y. Yeah. You can also see that we have a negative correlation between the yield without nitrogen and the delta Y, which also makes sense. We actually see that the yield at the EONR level is highly correlated with the simulated yield potential. So this is from a crop simulation model. And so if you would just put the most important variables in an equation here and you wanted to estimate the economically optimal nitrogen rate, the multiple regression model that includes yield at that rate, the yield without fertilizer, and the agronomic efficiency explains 90% of the variability of this. So a lot of these things are interrelated. So the fact that one thing isn't correlated strongly with the other doesn't mean necessarily that one shouldn't use a yield tool, I believe. So now we went ahead then and compared this approach that we are using with the approach that's being recommended now for Eastern Corn Belt states. So basically where we would take all these response curve data sets and calculate an average response curve, if you wish, and come out with an average estimated economic nitrogen rate for maximizing the return to nitrogen. That would be the same across different places. And so then we compare this with the true measured economical optimal rate, and we do this for this flat rate approach or the MRTN approach and the two types of university algorithms that we had, the original one here without the economic adjustment factor and the revised one with the adjustment. So this is the difference between the recommended nitrogen rate with each of these algorithms and the true economical optimal nitrogen rate as a function of the price ratios. So as expected, for the flat N rate approach, it has to be zero. That's the way this is designed. You can see if we don't have an economic adjustment in our algorithm, we're way off when the nitrogen is expensive relative to corn. We're also way off if it's the other way around. The adjustment brings us very close to the zero difference. What difference does this make in the yield that you're going to get with the recommended nitrogen rate versus the yield at the optimal rate? Again, you want to be as close as possible to the zero line here. You can see that with the improved University of Nebraska algorithm, we're going a little bit better in yield terms than using the average nitrogen response. We're way off with the old algorithm, which didn't have an adjustment factor if the prices are price ratios very low or very high. We're very close, somewhere in the middle here. So in terms of profitability, which is really the key characteristic, is we want to get close to no difference to the true measured or fitted economical optimal nitrogen rates. We want to be up here. Both of these algorithms, the original one and the unadjusted one, revised one, in the typical price ratios that we deal with nowadays, which are around here in the last 10, 15 years, did somewhat better than using the average response function. So that's a few dollars profit gain. So, and there's another factor I think that we always keep in mind is you want to have a nitrogen recommendation that is robust. And here is another way to look at this. The standard error of the difference between the recommended rate and the economic nitrogen rate, we want to be the standard error of that difference as small as possible across different site years, meaning a recommendation algorithm that achieves this works robustly across all these different sites and cropping systems and yield levels. You can see that the modified complete algorithm that we're using in this respect is very robust. It has a very small standard error of this difference, with this a much larger one, not surprisingly, if you use an average response function, there will be more sites that deviate more from that than with this type of adjustment. Now, coming back to what I started with, and this may explain why in the western part of the Corn Belt we have a greater interest in these more detailed algorithms. When you just look, compare the performance of these different algorithms by crop rotation. So again, the difference in profit between the recommended nitrogen rate and the true measured economical optimal nitrogen rate, we want it to be zero. Between the revised UNL algorithm and the flat NRH MRTN approach, for corn following soybean, they are basically identical. And that goes back to what I showed earlier, that the economical optimal nitrogen rate for corn following soybean seems to be much narrower, whereas it's a big difference is between for the continuous corn systems, where the more detailed algorithm clearly does much better than the average algorithm. So in summary, before we get too carried away and heated into heated debates of what approach to use, I think the future lies in more tactical nitrogen management concepts anyway, where we have to have a component that allows us to make pre-plant or early season decisions reasonably well, but where we also bring in a much more sophisticated way of managing nitrogen during the growing season. And so I think a lot of the discussion of what should be the algorithm for using for doing the early season decision may not be as important as we sometimes think. Now, truly, if we just look at the data set that I've shown here, is that the MRTN sort of flat rate approach based on regionalized response databases seems to work if you are in environments with relatively narrow consistent variation in yields and nitrogen supply and therefore nitrogen response. If you have more widely ranging conditions of these different components of nitrogen response, a more detailed algorithm of the kind that we are proposing is certainly performing better. And there is, I think, a lot of potential to improve these algorithms. And particularly to bring in more explicitly nitrogen use efficiency, which none of them currently have. Why is that important? It is important for those situations that we are interested in now in terms of accounting better for in-season nitrogen management approaches, and also for new fertilizer products like polymer-coated urea that's coming into the market, which has clearly a much higher nitrogen use efficiency. What right now is these empirical algorithms that we use, we don't really account for this. So I want to finish suggesting that maybe there is a simple generic solution that one day we can all agree on, and simply a delta yield or yield response approach. If we are able to utilize information that we can collect on the environment, on the soil, on the yield potential, and the economics to reasonably well estimate the expected response to the yield response to nitrogen, if we can use similar information to also have a good indication of what the agronomic efficiency or fertilizer efficiency will be, that'll get you as close as possible to a nitrogen rate as we'll probably ever be able to do. And this, I believe, can be a global approach, not a Nebraska approach, not an Iowa approach. It can be used in a similar way for any environment, and I believe that's what we should be looking at. Thanks. Oh, by the way, this is probably what we should be looking at.
That's in a different session a little bit later today. If you come back to this room about 1 o'clock, you'll have some presentations about this, I'm sure. We have some time for questions for Akeem. Do we have questions?
Don't you think it, in these environments, the most variable aspect of nitrogen efficiency and crop yield is rainfall?
Yeah.
And in Nebraska, being irrigated, and then because they don't eat the less irrigation, and that would perhaps lead to different recommendation systems and different algorithms that would be better or worse in the environment.
But yeah, definitely. I mean, that's very clear. The data set that I used for doing this performance comparison was all irrigated. Yeah, so it would be actually very interesting to do the same exercise, including rain-fed environments, because that's really the real test in comparing this. Yeah. And I would argue that if you have more variable environments, I don't know. It's a hypothesis. I don't know it. Whether the more complete algorithm would even be better than the average one or not. You know. But it's clear that this type of exercise should be conducted. So I would really encourage people to do this following a similar approach. You know. But it's I agree. Rainfall is going to be the major factor there. We discussed this yesterday actually at a meeting here to sort of discuss a global experiment on nitrogen recommendations for corn. The one observation that I recently have from work we do in Asia on both rice and corn is that in many places there is a lot of variability in yields between place to place and season to season. But often the yield with nitrogen goes up in the same way as the yield without nitrogen. And there seems to be a lot more consistency in the delta yield. And there's big differences in the delta yield between environments. But the seasonal fluctuation seems to be more consistent, which I think is why we, instead of trying to figure out what the yield goal is and what the yield without nitrogen is, if we have reasonable means to estimate the expected yield response for a given environment, we will probably be making more progress. But that's, again, something to look into a bit more.
Time for one more. Okay, thank you.
Yep.